Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Los Angeles, California and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, it's the Coast to Coast Show. Ebony Ivory with Andy Kimball and Lloyd Booker. Ebony Ivory, welcome aboard.
My goodness. I thought I just slipped through a wormhole. Hello. I was like, I've been taken back in time. What is going on?
I didn't even hear that. What was that? I didn't hear it. Was that an intro? What did it say?
It said the introduction to the Andy Kimball and Lloyd Booker show.
How did that get on there? That's how this thing began, you know, folks who didn't know. That's how it began in April 2020. Of course, we've moved on since. And Lloyd was initially part of the show back then. And things changed and we evolved. And now it's been the Andy and Mander show now for, 430 episodes, somewhere around there. But anyway, all the best to Lloyd Booker. Yeah, all the best to Lloyd. And he was a fun guy. You remember he was doing, what was the character he had? Ike, remember Ike?
Oh, yeah,
Uncle,
that was
Uncle
so
Ike,
good.
He was funny. Yeah, so funny.
Oh, he's hilarious.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes these intros to the show, it's a show intro, bam, you bang it. I don't even know what the hell half of them are. But anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous, darling. How about yourself? I know you've been traveling.
I'm traveling now, right now. I'm sitting in the area right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on a beautiful afternoon here, actually. Quite gorgeous. I should send you a picture. It's a really beautiful day here. I'm so used to being beautiful in California, but it is, in fact, beautiful in other parts of the country and the world as well. You know, I'd like to think in California we're kind of sitting on top of the world out there, but, you know, in terms of everything we have got going on for us, as expensive as it is to be there, still a lovely, lovely place to be. But I'm loving coming back to your hometown turf, you know, and doing some music in the Philadelphia Folk Festival coming up and hometown crowd, and it's always a great time. Kevin's supposed to be joining the show, but he is not joined. He's not logged in yet. I am here. So he's not on, and I'm glad I joined because you would have been kind of hanging out there. Not that would have been such a bad thing because you can do it and are more than capable of running this thing on your own. But and we love hearing you. definitely to do it. But so much is, if I can get to this, hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, there he is. Kevin's joining us now.
Oh, fantastic.
Here we go. See if we can get Kevin Michaels on here. Kevin, you're on the show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, man. I'm sorry I'm 2 minutes late.
Oh, we'll let you off.
You know?
I was trying to make my phone not ring while I was talking to you, so.
Oh, bless you, darling.
How are you guys both doing?
Oh,
doing great.
Fabulous.
I'm here on the East Coast.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm at the right side of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania right now, in a little town called Narberth, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Yeah, the capital universe.
I'm stuck
in my
house because my car transmission died.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's not that yeah. is not a that is not a inexpensive deal. Oh my God.
And it's more of an expensive deal with Mercedes-Benz.
Oh my God.
And we should say, I know your Mercedes, of course, senior Mercedes, which has a history to it. That lovely car has quite a history to it, right?
Yeah, it used to belong to Ringo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, Kevin, that's
funny.
You should give him a buzz and see if there's another one for you. Yeah.
Great car. I love it. And I have put very little, and he gave it to me for free, and I got very little money put into it of my own money. So far, after 3 years, I think it's only $300 or something like that. And I got a really good deal on its tranny fix. So it's still expensive, but you know, only $1,600. Which is a lot to me right now because I owe a lot of money to begin with. So, but normally it's over $4,000.
I had a Ford Windstar. Ford Windstar. I'm going back to the early 2000s that I needed a new transmission. It cost me $3,500.
Oh,
yeah, with
my.
And these are well over, you know, well over 4,000 just to rebuild. So
yeah, well, you got a great deal.
I feel somewhat blessed at that, huh?
You got a great deal at that price.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So that's the last problem I have for a long time.
Yeah.
Man. So a lot going on here. You know, the Congress today voted in the, I don't know if you're going to call it Build Back Better. It's actually even better than Build Back Better, which caps pharmaceuticals for those on Medicare at $2,000 a year. It's going to provide an environment that we can all bring our kids up in and our grandchildren can grow up safely in. It's going to the gas prices have been coming down weekly, every single week in this country now for over a month straight. And Biden right now is on this amazing roll. When so many said that he'll never get it done, he can't do it, get it done, he's not doing anything. And right now he's on hitting a grand slam home run in every respect. And now we have this FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, the former president's house, and people are saying, and I've heard, as a matter of fact, I've sent invites out this morning to some representatives who have commented, saying that we should defund the FBI and they're crooked, just like they're no good, and we need to defund them and get rid of the FBI. Why? Because
that is so Donald Trump, to create the illusion of something to take the attention off of him. It's he's been doing it for years.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, there's nothing new. Nothing new here. Yeah.
The funny thing too is with him declaring the fifth in that thing he did in New York, and how many times did he said only mobsters and criminals did that?
Yeah,
and now he is a mobster and a criminal, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I should shut up.
I wanted to play that.
Most of my audience of country music likes him, I think.
Oh.
Oh my!
Yeah,
I gotta tell you something. I think that number, and I know what you're coming from, what you mean by that, but I think that number is starting to shrink somewhat. I think that swell. You know, I think when you hear a lot of his former disciples, we refer to them, they're starting to say, you know what, I'm over it. I still like the guy, but let's move on. You know, let's move on. You know, find.
I do think his numbers are wrong, but you know, I just wish that we could get the Republican Party back to what it used to be.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we thought that a lot of us thought that it was bad when Bush was president, last Bush Jr.
Yeah.
By comparison, it's he was a Democrat. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, I would take those days back in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Well, me too. Yeah, I think most people would, but well, maybe not.
I think
Trump. You know, he's still one of the cult that split the country up so much that I can't see how one side or the other. And I don't really pick sides myself, but I just vote for whoever's the best person. But I just don't see how anybody can fall for that nonsense. It's you can't be yelling we're the greatest country in the world and make America great again when you split up the people.
That's very true. Yeah.
Because one of the greatest things about this country is that the people were very patriotic and country loving and we had more or less a love each other thing. There are some points. Of course, but now what have we got now? We've got the most divided country in the world and the most divided I've ever seen any country. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It truly is. It's unbelievable, but we'll see what happens now. I sent out some invitations this morning to a representative in Florida who's currently a state rep running for Congress, who came out and said, who came out in an interview, on a CNN interview, and said that the FBI is crooked and we should defund it, and more talk along those lines, and we had no business raiding the former president's house. And when we find items marked classified, top secret, especially items regarding nuclear positions in the world. And then hearing another Republican on television come up to the podium and say, well, they're not truly classified. I mean, these things are on your phone. Whose phone? Not my phone. I don't classify government documents on my phone. What does not truly classified mean if something is stamped classified in the White House? What does that mean? It's not really it's not really classified.
Trump declassified them before he took them, but there's a process that he didn't follow.
Yes.
And if you didn't follow the process, it's not declassified.
That's right.
You know, it's
still
classified.
That's right.
It's still classified.
Yeah.
So
it's
classified.
And you got to wonder if the documents that he that is speculative right now, but there's some talk right now, and there's some people in the know have come out and said that a lot of these documents, if not all of them, but a lot of them pertain to our nuclear positions around the world. And the question has got to be, why would he take these documents under his personal possession? What was the intent? What was the intent of doing that? Why would he need to do that? You know, to give them to some foreign,
the nuclear thing is scary. If he took documents that had to do with nuclear things that if there's a civil war, he can like launch, I don't know, you know, it's, that's kind of scary, that he knows, carries that with him. But I think, there's got to be something that ties, that shows, I think, well, the Mueller report is one thing, the true Mueller report, not the one that when he hired his own attorney general, who now is turned against him, but at the time, was for him, took out all the parts that said that he was guilty, though Mueller said that he was guilty, and that's what his report said. Of course, the diehards didn't believe him. And they, the guys like Kevin McCarthy Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz.
Oh my gosh!
All those people spin it and try to make it. I don't know what their love of this guy is. I can't figure it out.
That's what I can't figure out either.
We've been saying the same thing. Yeah.
There's a fabric or a population in this country that has felt that their voice was never heard. They didn't have anything they did or acted or voted upon never was heard or mattered. And he represents those folks that just finally have a voice. And no matter what, it's like a cult.
It is a cult.
In fact, you're right. It means absolutely a cult. And there's no distinction between behavioral element that this guy has versus cult leaders that we've read and heard about, looking in the past. It's identical.
I mean, he's a lot like you compare him a lot to Jim Jones.
Yep.
Because I think a lot of these people would drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
If you told them.
Yeah.
And that's more frightening.
It's so funny. It's funny, Mitch. Funny you mentioned that name, Jim Jones. I used to produce, it was one of the careers I've had in my life. I was in the 70s. I produced and promoted concerts, and one of my I guess you can call anchor cities to do this in was Reading, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, about 30 miles outside of Philly or so. Yeah, Reading. I used to produce shows at the Astor Theater, the Reading Astor Stadium, the Riot Theater. And my partner at the time, his name was Jim Jones at the time when Jim Jones was in the news. So when I used to call up agents and promoters and talking, about our business and everything, and Jim handled all the production end of our concerts, and I would say, "Yeah, who's your partner?" I'd say, "Jim Jones," and they'd say, "Really? Really?"
He's gonna be Kool-Aid at the concert.
That was because Jim Jones was in the news at the time, the cult leader Jim Jones, and my partner's name was Jim Jones.
God.
So it was something. I had to deal with that every single day. Every day I dealt with that.
Wow.
and we did a lot of shows. We did,
a guy named Charles Manson. So I guess.
Oh yeah. That's right.
And it's not that one.
You're right. Oh jeez. You were friendly at the time, Kev. You were friendly with Dennis Wilson, right?
I did know Dennis very well. He was one of the first people I knew out here. I used to, back in the days when I drank alcohol, which I haven't done in a long time, I drank with Dennis. And I was, in fact, with his son, Scott, driving around in an old convertible when it came on the radio that a beach boy died in the marina. And that was a tough one. We've just recently gotten recently gotten in touch again over Facebook. So yeah, Dennis was an incredible guy, and he knew Charles Manson.
That's what
I heard. Yes,
that's what brought that up, bringing that name.
Some of those families were living with him. That was before my time, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course,
Dennis met Terry Melcher. Charlie met Terry Melcher, who, you know, I guess he felt, you know, that Charlie did this whole thing because of music. He wanted to be a musician, and he is actually not that bad of a songwriter and whatnot. But so Dennis introduced him to Terry Melcher and said that he would help, you know, Terry said that he would help him with his music, and then he just ignored it. And Terry Melcher, which was Doris Day's son, used to live in that house that was at the time being rented by Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate. The reason that he sent the family to kill those people was because of that.
Wow.
And they were, and of course, Terry Melcher was gone. Cult leaders only think about themselves.
because I understand there was that musical relationship between Dennis Wilson and Charles Manson. If Charles had been, in fact, successful at the time as a musician, history would have been a lot different, wouldn't it, if he had actually gone out there and made something of a musical.
Crazy. You know, a sociopath is a sociopath. Whether, you know, he would have killed somebody or not, who knows? I mean, maybe some critic would have said something about his music at Rolling Stone, and he would have sent the family to kill them. Crazy, you know. I mean, he was mentally ill, so.
Did I
tell you, speaking of Charles Manson, did I ever tell you about a friendship that I had struck up when I was trying to, and I still have this sitting somewhere, notes for a script that I was putting together called Public Enemy Number One. And after, you know, John Dillinger was, of course, Public Enemy Number One that everybody knew, but there was only one other, and it was, I knew the guy, and now I'm going to have a hard time with his name. Alvin Karpus was Public Enemy Number One as well around the same time. Anyways, I knew him. I talked to him up in Canada. The guy spent the longest time in Alcatraz that anybody ever spent. And he was there when it closed. They sent him to a prison in Washington. And then they deported him to Canada at the end. And that's where I met him. He was friends and a gangster like of the same breed as Bonnie and Clyde and John Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd. All those people were his friends. And then when he was in Alcatraz, he was in a band with Al Capone.
And really?
There was a kid in the next cell to him in Washington's state prison that they sent him to that he taught to play the guitar, who turned out to be Charles Manson. So this guy really crossed a lot of, generational criminals.
What did Al Capone play?
I think he played a fiddle or something, or banjo. Banjo is what he played, oddly enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow.
But he had a jazz band.
Only on the Andy Demando show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I talked to this guy about, doing a thing about his life, a story about his life. And he seemed like such a lovely old man. he reminded, you know, he had a the same kind of a voice like Jimmy Stewart. You know, he was that kind of guy. And he just seemed so nice. He was actually Nev Campbell and her brother Christian Campbell's babysitter when I met him.
Oh, really? Wow.
Except they weren't anything yet. They were just little kids. Then he moved to Spain, and I guess he was Alvin, that is, and he was everybody lost interest in him, and I guess he started to go to the cafes and tell people, hey, I was Public Enemy number one, you know, and
what?
People thought he was full of it, you know, they thought he was full of shit, they thought it was a joke. And in fact, Ma Bakker, who became known as Bloody Mama, the Barker gang was actually officially named the Carpus Barker gang. It was his gang first. And he told me that Ma Bakker was not a criminal. She was a Bible thumping old woman that they named Bloody Mama only after she got massacred by the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover didn't want it known that to kill her son, who was a bad guy, he killed a decent old lady. So they came up with the whole thing about her being Bloody Mama. So anyways, Alvin ended up killing himself because he was so depressed about people, you know, about not getting any attention anymore. Plus he was, I guess he got involved in drugs and stuff.
Wow.
I don't know how I get sidetracked totally. I guess Charles Manson took me there. But
yes,
long story to get around to Charles Manson. Maybe an interesting one, though.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I thought
always,
it would make a
always,
good
movie. Always is. I bet it would have, because I don't know the name. Like, a lot of people wouldn't know who that is.
Alvin Carpus, yeah, he was. There's a song even about Alvin Carpus. They called him Creepy Carpus. He didn't really like that, but that's what his nickname was, Creepy Carpus. Really kind of a brainiac criminal, though. I mean, he was very smart. And he probably would have gotten away forever. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
But enough about Alvin Carpus.
Anyway, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah, yeah. Only on the end of
Public Enemy number one, Donald Trump.
Yeah, the real one. Yeah, Donald. Oh my God, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Can we talk really? God, it's just amazing how this guy still commands the headlines. Unreal.
You know,
unreal.
I've known him for almost 40 years, and I told people that friends of mine who are Republicans, and I am, like I said, I don't put myself really to either party. I believe that if someone's good, I'll vote for them. I told everybody that I knew that who had died in the war of Republicans that Donald Trump was, and they didn't believe me because they voted for him anyway. And what can I say? I
know. And I know you had a relationship with the Trump family. It goes back quite a ways. Yeah.
Almost 40 years.
Do you know who I feel bad for now is Republican out of Wyoming, Liz Cheney, who is in her primary bid to maintain her seat in the Senate is down right now by double digits. And she can't campaign because of all the death threats against her because of her position regarding Donald Trump.
No.
Well, that shows you. That shows you who votes for him, though. I mean, not who votes for him, but who his supporters are. You don't make death threats to people because you like somebody, you know, unless there's something wrong with you. So that says a lot right there. But did you see her father's, the commercial with her father?
Yes, fantastic. Dick Cheney, yes.
I thought it was amazing.
Oh, tell me about it, because obviously us in the UK don't know about it. Tell us about the commercial.
Oh, I've been talking a lot, so Andy, you do this.
No.
he just came out. he just came out, you know, it's in typical Dick Cheney mannerism, and just spoke about what we've all been talking about regarding Donald Trump, regarding the. I'm hearing some beeping. Where's that coming from? Do we know?
Yeah, it's a truck backing up here.
Oh, okay.
So I could shut my phone down. I can't stop the trucks. it's the garbage truck going up. He's just now leaving my street. So yeah.
Oh, there we go. But anyway, so as I was saying though, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney's father, who was a former vice president of the United States, came out just really slamming Donald Trump and slamming what he stands for and slamming those who oppose the those who really in many senses do believe that Donald Trump is in fact above a law, any law, every law. He's exempt from any law we have in this country of ours, whether he be a former president or not. And he's just fabulous. And you got to YouTube it, folks. Check it out. Check out. Matter of fact, next week we'll play it on the show.
It's on
YouTube. Dick Cheney. Trump. Yeah. He absolutely. We'll play it on the show next week.
You know who's my favorite Republican though? My favorite current Republican and somebody I would vote for president even is Adam Kinzinger.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, fantastic! What? Oh my gosh! Intellect, articulate,
he's just
bright.
The most beautiful person I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
In every regard.
Yeah, fabulous.
I mean. He is a conservative, and he's a true conservative. He was a war hero. He was, a guy that came back from the war, and he wanted to run for office because of what he believed. He talked about it in the hearings. And he's leaving now because of all. And I think that's a shame because he is like, to me, people like him are the hope of the party.
Right. I see.
And Liz Cheney, who obviously is a true conservative.
Hmm.
I don't agree with a lot of her politics, and I do some of it, but she's just honest, and the country means more to her than some crazy man that's a cult leader.
Hmm.
So yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
I like that. I
drank too much and he wore sloppy clothes and spoke bad Russian grammar.
Yeah, but I would bring back. I'm all about the bringing Nixon back.
But you'd have to get a shovel. Elvis.
The issues that we're facing now with this former president of ours and the crimes that he has allegedly committed, which seem evident that he did.
50 times worse than anything.
It makes Watergate look like a shoplifting misdemeanor. Like nothing. Yeah.
Well, all the Watergate people have even said that basically too. The people on both sides of it.
John Dean.
And the two guys. Woodward and Bernstein. All these people that were involved in that are like, that was nothing. That was a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Compared to this. I think starting an insurrection like this against the Capitol, have you been there?
Oh, Andy? Yeah. Several times. Yeah,
me too. When I was young, and then again. Well, I went to the White House when I went back to get a thing for the documentary that I did called "Save the Sea." But I went to the Capitol again, and it is our house, the people's house.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And treason is what I think the crime should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Treason.
I agree.
Some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong.
But not all of them.
Not all of them. Yeah.
Wait till after they hear what I have to say. he was mm-hmm. great.
We were.
He was great on Foreign Affairs.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
he was really one of the board presidents.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming anybody for that.
No.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Like somehow my
Nixon
that view is the right one.
Went into John Huston. Where do you get all these voices, man?
That might leave in the minds of some of our viewers and listeners a connotation of which would be inaccurate.
He goes out there and actually records them in person.
Yeah.
The only the one thing that Nixon did that I think a lot of young people at the time didn't like, and I still don't like, is that he really got J. Edgar Hoover to go after John Lennon to try to keep him out of the country.
Mm. And, you know, I wasn't very happy about that at all.
No. The things that the British people believe about what happened with John Lennon, you know? That it was set up and, you know, there's a whole big conspiracy behind it, isn't there? And I should imagine it's quite a sensitive subject for you, my darling. But in many people's eyes here in the UK, because he was just so loved, I think it was easier for people to move with the whole conspiracy that, you know, this person had been kind of brainwashed into taking his life. And, you know, the whole thing with Catcher in the Rye and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
have you read the book about that guy?
I have not. No, I haven't.
Really,
you know,
fascinating. Fascinating book about.
Yes, darling. Sorry, go on.
I'm trying to remember the name. It's a really fascinating book about that guy and his mental state. And,
yeah.
But, you know, one thing that always bothered me is the fact that this guy got on an airplane about 5 or 6 times with a gun.
Right.
And you can't do that.
Right.
And it makes me question, was, you know, Mark David Chapman just the lone gunman who thought that he was John Lennon and there could only be one? Or is he, you know, the Oswald, basically?
Fascinating. And to be honest, I've never gone too much in depth with that, and because I have a physical reaction to the whole story of what happened with John Lennon. Literally, when I hear about it, my stomach turns and I feel something, which is unusual because there's a lot of things I can hear about in this world and I don't get the same reaction. The other reaction I had was with JFK when he was shot.
Longest assassinations that anyone...
That's right,
I think in our lives.
Yeah, very traumatic. And I think I've kind of avoided it for that reason. I mean, I was watching so many documentaries going back several years ago, in fact, probably longer, about JFK. And as soon as they showed the scene where he was shot, that was it. I had to stop it right there. I couldn't go any further. I was traumatized, literally traumatized. Yeah.
It's terrible to watch.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you can literally see a piece of his head blow off. It's like,
exactly.
Like, yeah.
Horrific.
You know, but there's an old movie that not a lot of people have seen, and it had quite a cast in it.
Okay.
It was made for next to no money because Hollywood wouldn't even get behind it. They were afraid to. Called Executive Action.
Right.
Is Andy still there?
He's probably in the wings getting a coffee.
I'm listening in.
Because I was going to say, have you ever seen that movie, Executive Action?
No, I never did. I never did see it. No.
It had a cast, like Burt Lancaster and Robert Ryan and some of the biggest movie stars that you can think of. The whole thing was, you know, of course it showed that there were other people that were involved in the killing, and that he was killed basically, for the main reason was when he put a freeze on U.S. Steel.
Okay.
That was the main reason that he was killed.
But yeah.
They thought that he had too. He was too much of like a president for the people and not for big business and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, there's the thought in the JFK movie that it had something to do with the mafia in New Orleans, and of course there probably was some truth to that too, because you know his brother went after the mob, so
right,
Sam Giancana and all those people. But
yeah,
but that movie, the thing I found interesting at the end, they put up, I think, 12 witnesses that saw other gunmen. And they all died within a month or two by really strange accidents, supposedly accidents, like, you know, getting run over by a car. And I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Obviously not just conspiracy theories there. There was much more going on.
Well, yeah, that's the thing as well, isn't it? I mean, a lot of things get taken straight away as conspiracy theory, but there's sometimes other underlying things and factors to take into consideration that, you know, do stay on track with the events that happened. But, yeah, I mean, it's all very fascinating. Even the conspiracy theories are fascinating, but I think you've got to be careful.
In the UK about Lenin?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm not unaware.
Yeah, I mean, people were thinking, and I, you know, I might not get this 100% right because I didn't read into all of it. Like I said, as soon as I found out what happened to him, this is when I was younger, because my parents always brought me up on all the big bands, the Beatles and so on. So I grew up knowing and loving the Beatles. But when I, you know, found out the story about what happened to Lennon, it literally, again, it wasn't as traumatic for me as the JFK incident, but it left something on my soul. It literally did leave something on my soul that I felt so sick about, because Lennon was an incredible projection of a peaceful, loving, amazing guy who wanted to do more good for this world than harm. He had a lot to say and a lot of things to achieve, and he created this role model for many, many people. And so many people in the UK loved and admired him still to this day, and I'm one of them, sure. And of course, with that love comes challenging questions when something that you love so much is taken from you, with how did this happen? And you look into things like that, you hear all these things in the media, people start taking this into their psyche, of their emotions, their thinking, everything really. And the main conspiracy was that he was taken out on purpose because of the powerful movement that he was creating with going against war, trying to create peace. And, you know, he was proven in a lot of things at that time. So, yeah.
So,
oh, really?
I mean, I hadn't heard that was a thing here. But
okay.
I don't think it was. But that's what I think. I mean, you know, all these advocates of peace throughout our lifetime, I mean, before our lifetimes, actually, always are killed in a violent way. From Jesus on to Gandhi on to Lenin, you know.
Yeah,
They all promote peace and love, and it's some. The powers that be don't seem to like peace and love.
Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, you know, it's exploited for many what appear wonderful reasons, and sometimes it does make you question the genuine intention of that, if it's used for other purposes. And so, of course, you know, many people will. I think that's one of the reasons that many people sided with Trump, because Trump was always pushing what the little man was always trying to say, and, you know, tried to be made known, the voice that they were trying to project. Trump was good at being that kind of middleman for the underdog, as they say. And although Biden is doing such an amazing job and trying to support the underdog, of course, Trump supporters are like, no. He's not the real representation of the underdog. You know, Trump knew how to project, you know, this egoic kind of arrogance of, yes, changes will be made. And, of course, people are going to jump on board with that.
Jimmy Hoffa kind of way, though, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he knows how to be a showman, and that's what makes any president very successful.
But it was violent. I mean, he would call out people to be beaten up and all kinds of things, which is not – that was enough of a reason for me not to want to have him for president. But I knew things about him.
The best is yet to come.
Yes. I think his whole goal was to meet those needs of those –
somebody else gets to be president.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, the best is yet to come with Biden, even, I think.
Donald Trump is begging. He's begging and crying.
I love Trump's voice. I gotta be honest.
There's
moments
God
in the
God
music, but...
I could tell you some stories about my. Maybe we have done. I don't know, but I stayed over their house years ago because I knew his first wife. And she
is
was
that the lady who passed recently?
Yeah, and she wanted me to meet him. When he was an hour and a half, 2 hours late for dinner, and he showed up, and he said, when she asked why he was so late, he said some of the most racist things that you could, I mean, you can't even imagine. And, you know, I mean, for me, two of the races he went after were Italian people and who he called greaseballs. And Native Americans, who I won't even tell you what he called. Yeah.
Okay.
And he called New York, Jew York.
We will not deal with you!
Oh, why,
I'm
really?
Sure I'm sure that's the way he would have felt when I left in the middle of the night, because I wanted to jump over. My mother's Italian and Native American. I wanted to jump over the table and choke him. But instead, I just waited until everyone went to sleep, and I left.
Wow.
Raving lunatics.
Yeah.
That would be me, I guess. But he had actually a copy of Mein Kampf next to his bed.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, he worships the Nazis, too.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think
yeah,
he was number one in his class.
I was going to say. There was a lot of talk actually going around when Trump was...
class was that the Nazi class? I'm going to screw myself here with this. Oh my God.
No. There was a lot of talk going around.
I not come on any more of your Trump shows.
To me, it's the most exciting thing you can talk about.
Darling, you can come on the show anytime and we can avoid talking about Trump. It's fine.
Yeah, I just...
Republicans love it.
Yeah, of course they do. Not the real ones, but yeah.
There was so much talk going around with him about, you know, how he was very much close to Hitler in some of his tactics and behaviors and stuff. But, you know, I can see the...
I don't know anything about what you're even talking about.
You don't know a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's going to have a strong opinion about something. I'm actually interested to see if there's any conspiracies against Biden, because obviously there was many about Trump. And it'd be interesting to see if there's anybody...
Well, first of all, could you imagine if I were president right now?
Oh, yes.
No. I couldn't.
Well, I'm a big fan.
Of me?
It's going down very rapidly. Really rapidly.
Oh, calm yourself, Mr. Trump.
Oh, my God. I tell you,
anyway.
I think the most brilliant... thing I've ever seen, and I like it so much better than the real Trump. I loved Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump.
Oh, really?
We're going to do very well. We've done a great job.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
He's a huckster. He's a salesman. That's all he is.
All right. Yes. Yeah.
A
aren't
salesman
and
a con artist.
Isn't that what most political figures are? They're just like glorified salespeople who know how to pitch an idea to. It's
I think a lot of them are.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're not thinking. You never do.
Oh, hold on now.
Andy's having a ball right now.
He is. He's having fun hitting those buttons. I'm actually eager to see who's going to be our next Prime Minister. Like, I was talking to Abby about this. We've got this wonderful lady called Liz Truss who's promising all these wonderful things to the UK, and I'm hoping that she ends up taking the seat. But, you know, we'll soon see. But we're not going to find out until early September. So they keep campaigning at the moment, and they keep changing. Well, especially the other guy. Oh my God!
I also happen to call him a lightweight, okay, and I have said that, so I would like to take that back. He's really not that much of a lightweight.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, well, you're lucky you got rid of your Donald Trump, although
well,
he didn't turn out
thing,
to be quite as bad.
Yeah, they were all saying that he was an imitation.
Well, he kind of looked like him even, but. And they're both from New York originally.
I know, right? They probably dined at the same
It's a disgrace what happened, frankly. A real disgrace.
Oh, it's okay, Trump. I'm sure you are, that you're both in kicked out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope and pray that, you know, whatever they find now and whatever they, I mean, they already have the, if they really want to go after it, I think they already have the goods to at least damage him enough so we can never run again. But,
this is the way it is.
Yeah, it is the way it is. And now we have a bunch of crackpots. That's the way it is too. Because since he got in, you got the Taylor Greens and, who unfortunately is from Georgia, the state that I loved enough to run this.
It's not like they're, you know, just starting.
Mm-hmm. and the Josh Hawleys and all these weird people. Jim Jordan is the worst. And they're talking about, you know, who's the great guy that can replace, you know, if we don't have Trump, is DeSantis.
Right.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Well, I'd like to ask somebody, whether it's China or anywhere. That guy, to me, is almost as scary as Trump. But
let me go and consult my dishes in the kitchen. Hang on. As close as I can get.
Why can't they just put out somebody like Ike again? You know, like Eisenhower, who was a great president.
Yeah.
All our infrastructure and the roads and everything happened under Eisenhower. Great report.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Obviously, I don't know a huge amount about the U.S. presidents. You hear bits, obviously. I, in history in school, we were taught many things, and we got taught about some of the U.S. history, very minimal amount, obviously. And I'm sure I fell asleep through most of history because back then I didn't find it very interesting. Now, yes. Extremely fascinating. But, I think, you know, I've heard wonderful things about various presidents. I heard Reagan was a bit of an interesting one. Reagan.
Well, yeah, he was, I mean...
Well, I was going to reply to that, but what the hell, let's move on to something else.
Okay.
They held him very high, and everything was always... They would always talk about Reagan until Trump showed up.
Right.
And he wasn't, I don't know, some of Ronald Reagan's stuff was pretty good, but he wasn't my favorite. Ike was definitely my favorite of the Republican presidents. Like Harry Truman and JFK were my favorite Democrats.
Yeah, JFK did.
The Japanese are involved here.
Really? I was going to say JFK did a lot of interesting things and had a lot of great proposals. But, you know, again, all the stories, especially when I recently watched that documentary. I say recent, in the past few months, based on Marilyn Monroe. It's on Netflix. It's a special that they did.
Yeah.
That was very interesting, and her ties to, you know, JFK.
Well, the house where all that happened is right down the street from me, so.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Thursday, when we were getting the program for this week, he was mumbling
He was almost incoherent. It was very embarrassing.
Oh.
Who was that?
I have no idea.
Anyway.
Who was that, Andy?
Anyway, so
John, I think I have to check. I think it was Gerald Ford. Yeah, Gerald Ford popped in. It was Gerald Ford popped in.
That could have been Ford. Yeah, that could have been right.
Yeah.
But anyways, down on PCH, just down the street from me, less than a half a mile away or a quarter of a mile away, is the house where the Kennedy brothers and Marilyn Monroe did their thing, and where John Lennon and Harry Nilsson made the record, and John lived there while he was in L.A. during his off years from Yoko, and off months from Yoko, I should say, and the Beatles all lived in that house too, and it was Peter Lawford's house originally, who was part of the Rat Pack. So I think it still belongs to his family.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
Yeah,
we used to perform together.
Yeah.
I point it out to people all the time when we go by.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sometimes I do it over and over, and it's the same people, because I'm forgetful, and they think, are you getting old? What's going on?
It's like, no, I just wasn't paying much attention when I did it the first time or the second time or the third time, right? I just thought I'd refresh you on the fourth time.
This is it.
Oh, I do things like that, Mike.
You know, there's some, talking about things in the UK. Something else that stuns me, and Andy brought it up at the beginning about pharmaceuticals and stuff like that. Because I've talked to you guys about this, I've had vocal problems for a while. I went to see, an otolaryngologist about, the doctors that specialize in that. And there was no growths or anything on my voice box or my vocal cords.
Hmm.
And apparently it's just some reflux that creates these problems. And there's a product that I have to buy by mail from the UK.
Yeah.
Because you can't get it in the United States.
Oh.
And it's an over-the-counter product. And it's a company called Gaviscon that has products in the U.S. But because this one works so well.
Yeah.
you can't get it.
Oh,
so it cost a lot because but it cost like a lot of money to buy it from the there are people who bought some and warehoused it over here somewhere, and they charge you a lot of money for it because it comes from overseas. Exactly.
Of course. Yeah.
But I have my voice, most of my voice back, and. And I attributed it to this medicine, and it's just called Gaviscon Advance, which
right.
I guess you guys can just buy in the drugstore.
Yeah, of course, it's so easy for us to get hold of here. Yeah,
and it's not expensive, I don't think, but it's wicked expensive over here. Two little bottles of it are like $80.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Are we clear?
Oh, it's a tiny fraction of that price here. Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure.
Wow.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? How medicine, that is there to help
wrong.
People. Yeah.
It's certainly wrong.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, $80.
We have 4 minutes left.
We do.
No,
five.
5 minutes left.
Yeah,
five minutes left. Almost six.
So
but,
tell us if you can fit in. It's been a year. I saw your Facebook a year since doing the Down Home Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I really think, it's amazing, though, and I don't know that it's the same over there. I don't think it is. My lawyer told me it's not. I don't know. But
okay.
I'm, you know, as we may have talked about the, one of the last times I was on, I want to be with a label, a main label, and not just put the stuff out myself.
Yeah.
I can't do all the work. It's crazy. And nobody cares about, I mean, the labels don't really even take a phone call or a letter or anything from somebody unless, you know, and it don't matter what your record, you know, was number one on radio anymore. Now they want
this
you to
issue,
have
issue is under investigation.
Yes.
It should be.
Yeah.
I talked to Cornell about something, because there's two guys that I think have the right idea with how to deal with that, and they have their own record labels. One of them has, well, they both have like a lot of people that you would know, you know, we would know growing up listening to the stuff we've listened to, like Edgar Winter and people like that. One of the companies just signed Paul Rogers.
Wow.
And they both advocate for the artist.
Right.
And their whole thing is not to follow the procedure of the other companies. And so I was talking to Cornell about it, that it might be interesting to get separately, of course, but to get them on the show and to have me on the show and talk about my perspective my perspective of you know, coming from the past of the music business, of how much better it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
these are miserable, mean, nasty fucking scumbags.
Oh.
That was a rough one. But anyway, I thought it would be kind of cool to have one of them come on at a time and you know, because I'm kind of cajoling these people, and who knows, maybe they'll I have a feeling that they would sign me if they saw that, you know, especially if we can get them on the radio show and make them feel like they have to.
Say, hey, you.
It impaired group cohesion.
Yes.
We just have to make sure that they don't listen to this radio show.
Yeah.
Right now, this particular show, because I just let it out of the bag. Anyway, I think it would be an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Andy,
I couldn't believe my eyes.
Andy's so busy doing that, he's not even listening.
Yeah.
What's that again?
I said, you would love, have you heard of Quarto Valley Records?
Never heard of them. No, I haven't. No. No.
Yet some of their artists, so Dave Edmonds, Paul Rogers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Winter,
okay. Sure, of course.
The Immediate Family, which is all the people that played for...
Immediate Family's great. I know Lee Sklar's a neighbor of mine. Lee Sklar's been part of that. He lives near me.
He's the bass player, man.
Yeah.
So, are you a neighbor?
Yeah, we're neighbors. He lives right on the corner from me, about less than a mile away, I'd say, somewhere on there. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, I knew he lived in Pasadena. But anyway, he's...
Yeah.
So all these people are on this label. I would like to talk to them about that one, actually, or somebody to find out what their feelings about the label are. T-Bear's on that label now, too. But he's really starting to, you know, I think his Dave Edmonds album went to number one, or some one of the artists that he put on there is number one on Billboard. And I just don't know if they're having the same problem as I am.
Right.
Whereby they are not getting the streams. Of course, I mean, Edgar Winter probably will, but... But those people have a little bit of an advantage. But I want to... I knew Bruce, but the guy who owns it, Bruce Quarto, but I didn't know that... he's friends with Ringo and the gang, so... I just didn't know, it would be fascinating.
It would be fascinating, I think, discussion, especially because a lot of our listeners are musicians and so forth, about to talk about, you know, searching for a label. Do you need a label now that everybody and their brother is making their own records and fuming on the internet and TikToking and everything else that you do, or TikTacking, whatever it's called?
Absolutely.
But it'll make fascinating discussion. And, you know, labels, I mean, that, you know, is it worth it? Do they, you know, there was a time before indie artists, you know, I remember when Tower Records was, you know, whoa, you know, and CD Baby came along, and they were, not CD Baby, excuse me, CD Now, which is a big sales, like Amazon was with books. But it would be a fascinating discussion, you know, is record label the way to go? How do you get a record label? What are they doing for artists?
I think it's the way to go if you want. I mean, everybody that's there, is, you know, for the most part, is on a record label.
Well, but, you look at artists like Taylor Swift, who does her own thing, and Billie Eilish. What's her name? Billie Eilish?
Taylor Swift is on a major label.
Say what's that?
Taylor Swift is on a major label.
Yeah. Well,
she had her own deal going for quite some time, though. She had her own
I thought that, too. But that company is still allied with one of the major labels. And it was her father that put that company and that deal together. But it was part of Universal Music.
Yeah.
Right.
She's still doing her own, but she's still very much in command of what she does and how she does it.
Well,
you know, she's pulling strings.
She's big now. It's like this guy Drake. Yeah. He's so big that they said that unless they gave him the kind of advance he wanted and did whatever he wanted and signed him up to make sure to be the record company to sign him up, that the whole business would fall to hell because he's got that. I don't know why he's got that kind of following, but he does. Taylor Swift, I understand a little more, but
there was a woman named Phyllis Chappelle from Philadelphia, who's an amazing singer, vocalist that does jazz and Brazilian, just remarkably good. And we were talking about Taylor Swift last night and mentioning that if Taylor Swift stopped having boyfriends that dropped her, she would have no more songs.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Actually, was it she who got rid of Harry Styles? That's interesting too, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought the reason was pretty stupid too. Apparently she decided not to go out with Harry Styles anymore because he wouldn't get circumcised. That's very strange.
Okay.
That is weird.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
By surprise. Okay.
That's another show topic that we've talked about. We got to get back to that.
I got that. Yeah, it is. I got that one from the horse's mouth too.
Oh, really?
So that's legit. Yeah. Anyways, it's 4:03. Does that mean we're off?
Yes, it means that you need to get ready to set off on your travels, my darling.
Because I'm going. Yeah. I'm Chuck Lorre's picking me up. Because it's going to be until the 25th, I won't have a car.
Aww.
Oh, wow. All the best.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, folks, we got to wrap. So we'll be back, I think, on Monday. You know, this next week, I know I'm on the road a lot this next through the 23rd. But we're going to try to fit it, you know, stay on as much schedule as we can. And again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for an hour of the Andy DeManier Show. And anybody who's listening live during those times can call our show at 515-605-9888. And also continue the emails. Let us know what your comments, suggestions might be at andyanddemaniershow@gmail.com. That all being said, Amanda, why don't we get out of here and wish everybody a great weekend.
Can people talk to us?
Hmm?
Who call in, are they able to talk to us?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but I've not seen anybody do that yet. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had callers call in. And sure. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
It's a live talk show.
Bye, everybody.
Take care, Kev. Have a great weekend, man. Have a good night.
Bye, Kevin.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye. Love you guys.
Darling. Love you, too.
You, too.
Bye. Aw, love him. Appreciate him coming on the show.
Great having him on. Great having him on. He's got such a what an amazing in-depth background with having accomplished so much in his music career. film career. Yeah, incredible. Incredible guy. And such a great down-to-earth guy. You know, just such a terrific human being. You know, just I've gotten to know him well over the past year. And yeah, he's a very good friend and value our relationship. He's terrific. And one hell of a talent, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we got to get out of here. And I wish you a great weekend. And,
thank you.
You know, I'll be doing my thing on the East Coast. And we'll look forward to catching up on Monday.
Oh,
and
okay,
I don't know when we're going to get these shows on podcast distribution because I don't have all my studio equipment here, but we'll work that out. I'll do our best. But in the meantime, we're live on Blog Talk Radio, and folks can look through the archives and scan some of our 430 live episodes and 695 some odd shows that we've done all together. you're talking about what a history. Holy crap. This thing's come out of nowhere, right?
I know.
Anyway. Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. It
Alrighty
is.
Alrighty then,
we love every minute of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for our listeners for joining in today. And we hope you've enjoyed this episode. It was a lot more mellow today, a bit more slow paced and a bit more, not darker exactly, but it was quite, how would you describe it, Andy?
I would, casual? No. We're all casual.
But the news is a little bit more, and I guess topic of conversations are a bit more, a bit lower energy. Opposed to what we're
lower energy, lower
on
energy.
Previous
shows. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it was good nonetheless.
Yeah.
And we hope you enjoyed it and have an amazing weekend, everybody. We really hope you have a good weekend and join us again on Monday. So, on behalf of my wonderful co-host there, where are you?
I'm in Narberth, Pennsylvania, right now.
Ah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
on behalf of my wonderful co-host Andy Kimball in Pennsylvania and myself Amanda Love here in the UK, thank you so much to Kevin Michaels for joining us once again. We love and adore you. And you guys, thank you. Have a great weekend. We love you. Have a good one. See you Monday.
Take care, folks.